Hi, and welcome to the Maybe Running Will Help podcast, the show that explores the why of running for people who love to run. I'm your host, Nikki Tamburino, also known as One Classy Mother Runner on Instagram. I'm a certified running coach, mind and body fitness coach, and yoga teacher. But most importantly, I'm a runner. With over 12 years of experience racing marathons, I know a thing or two about running and how it transforms lives. From confidence to humility and goal crushing to soul crushing, I've personally experienced the highs and lows of our sport. And what I've come to realize is that running is about more than just performance and PRs. And that's what this show is all about. Our topics and guests help us explore the why of running because running can help, sometimes in ways we never expected. If you like this show, please be sure to like, follow, rate, and review us wherever you stream your podcasts. It helps us reach more people who need our community. Thank you for tuning in. Now let's get started. Hi everyone, I'm so excited to share another Hometown Highlight with you. Hometown Highlights is a Maybe Running Will Help series dedicated to the amazing runners right in our own neighborhoods. From business professionals to busy moms, we're talking to the runners who truly inspire because they're just like us. Leah Williams is the owner and founder of N Fitness, a treadmill gym that focuses on inclusivity and helping people become stronger and happier versions of themselves. In addition to owning a fitness studio, Leah has a demanding and impressive job in genetic counseling and is a mom to two kids. And yes, of course, she's a runner. Let's jump into this interview and learn more about today's hometown highlight. Oh, and be sure to stay tuned after the show for some special bonus content. All right, so we're talking to Leah Williams, and you were referred to us by your sister. And oh my God, I meant to pull up the email that your sister sent me. She had such amazing things to say about you in it.
Oh, such a good sister.
I'm like, oh my God, I hope my girls are this close as they get older. Were you guys always this close, or did you fight? Please tell me you fought.
Oh, we fought terrible. It was terrible. I mean, I'm 7 years older, about 7.5 years older than Hannah and 9 years older than Callie. So there was a big age difference there, and it was intense for a while, especially, you know, as I was into teenage years and they were still really little. I mean, we went through it up and down throughout the years, but I would say ever since maybe like college age, we've been, I was able to get away and really appreciate them. And yeah, and you know, and so all through adulthood, we've all been really close. It's been great.
I mean, it sounds like it. So her email was just, you're somebody that she's really looked up to for a really long time. So, and as I was talking to her, when we chatted, I was like, yeah, I actually also am really proud of her. And I wanted to share it. she had great things to say about you. So we're going to get into that and fitness and all of that stuff, but I want to get started with an icebreaker. So
all right,
what in your opinion is the worst element to run through? So rain, wind, snow, heat.
Oh man, cold wind for sure.
Cold wind, that, yeah, you put them together and then yeah, it really does make it a lot. Cold wind on a hill while it's raining. Yeah,
right, with no shoes.
Okay, what's the worst thing to forget?
Headphones always. Like if I'm by myself, headphones for sure. Cause like if you plan to have them and you don't, ooh, it changes the game.
Something that I forget like often that like just ruins everything is my like belt. I use a flip belt, but my belt, because then that just ruins everything. Then I can't like carry my phone, which means I can't listen to my music cause I stream my music through my phone. So it's like this one thing that I forget. I remembered everything else that like makes everything function, but I don't have my flip belt. So like, I can't carry it. And I'm like,
yes, I've been there myself. Yep.
Do you have any secrets or any unique like hacks for running? And I, just to give you an example, like one of mine is I will in the summer take in a washcloth and wet it and put it in the freezer. And then when I come back, it's like amazing.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I hate carrying fluids. So I'm like so finicky about I'm just finicky in general. I have to be comfortable because you're going to get uncomfortable anyway. So anything touching my body that I'm not comfortable with. So I stash my fluids around if I'm doing a long run. I'll like literally stash them behind a bush and I freeze it because it's usually in the summer that I'm having to do this. So I'll like freeze it and then stash it behind a sign at this corner or a bush here. And I feel like that helps me because then I know like I'm going to get a little break at that point and it's going to be cold and I don't feel like I have to like carry it on me.
Okay. I like that. So before you run, you're actually driving around to plant water.
Yeah. Sometimes like that's how dedicated I am to not carrying something with me. I think it's it's just long runs, right? I'm not doing that on like a, I will say like I, maybe my hack should have been that I stop at grocery stores. That's like my go-to for a bathroom, and they usually have a water fountain. So, and they're usually like, I mean, they're not clean, but they're better than a porta potty you happen to come across on the road. So usually that's my go-to, but if I'm doing a long run, then yeah, I'm like, you know, it's a time to eat my breakfast, drink my coffee, and drive around.
Are you running more outside or on a treadmill?
I would say I run more outside, just day to day. I obviously love the treadmill and those workouts, but it's tricky when I work there, right? Because like when I'm not there, I don't want to be there. I hate to say that. But like I'm not driving over there to get my own workout in for the, unless the weather is really, really bad and I have to. I love taking our classes. It's just like, by the time I've taken, you know, coached like three in a day or even two, and it's time to go home, I want to go home. I don't want to do a workout. And so I use the treadmill. Like if I'm on the treadmill, for the most part, I'm doing a hard workout, and it's not, so I'm usually outside, and I prefer to be outside for most of my running if possible, kind of, I think, like everybody else.
Yeah. Okay. So just to go back a little bit, Leah is the owner of a gym called End Fitness, and it's a treadmill studio. It's like the only treadmill studio in our area in Maryland, which is really cool. Yeah. So why did you decide to open a treadmill studio? Like, did you just love running on the treadmill? Because most people, the question is like, what do you do in the winter? Like, do you like people just hate running on the treadmill?
They do. A lot of people do really hate the treadmill. So that's a great question. I have never hated the treadmill like other people do, I will say. I've always thought it was like a great way to work out in a controlled environment. So like back when I started running, I was typically running outside, but sometimes was, you know, inside either on an indoor track or a treadmill. And I found ways to make it interesting and keep it interesting for me and keep it challenging. And I feel like all my friends were like, are you crazy? Like, how can you be on there for 60 minutes or 75 minutes? And I was like, if you keep it interesting enough, it's easy, right? And it's entertaining. Or you can, if you are keeping it easy, you can watch a show or, you know, whatever. And then when I was in, so I went to graduate school in North Carolina and didn't know anybody. So, but somebody in my program dragged me to a spin class, like just on campus at the, you know, fitness center on campus. And I had never done spin before. And the atmosphere in there just like got me like immediately, you know, the music, and it was a really great instructor. Like it was, the room was nothing fancy, but just, she had great music and great encouraging motivational cues and just got everybody like on the beat, moving together, feeling so good, wooing each other. And I was like, you know, walked out of there going like, that was great. But like, why, I want, when I work out, I want to be running. I'm a runner. I get this in my head that like, that's the way I want to be working out. Like, why isn't this on a treadmill? We should do this with the same class, but like inside on a treadmill. And again, people probably thought I was crazy saying that. And I was in graduate school, so it wasn't the time to be like coming up with new business ideas. I was right in the middle of graduate school for a training completely unrelated. And I just kind of kept it in the back of my mind, you know, always like this thing of some, you know, I don't even think I thought someday. I think I thought that would be really cool. And I moved back to the DC area, you know, got married, had kids, was working, you know, had my job that I loved very much. And I think across social media, I came across a studio called MyStride in Boston that's essentially what I had always had in mind, like, why doesn't this exist? And I was, you know, like, mouth open, like, this is a thing, this, somebody actually did this is crazy. And I immediately became like super obsessed and looking like, wow, she, you know. So the owner there, Becca Scudder is her name, she's married now, but you know, I think I had like instantly messaged her and was like, this is amazing what you've built, I've always dreamt of doing something like this. And she was like, oh, you should, this is, yes, it's going great. You know, it's challenging. It's like the hardest thing I've ever done, but like, absolutely, you should do it. I'll help you. And she was great and willing to have so many conversations with me. I ended up going up to visit after I kind of got through the process of like, I think I do want to do this. And I had been talking about it for years, but finally, you know, said to my husband, like, I think I want to do that. And he was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, no, like, you know, kind of, it was like, I can tell you're serious. And then from there, it was just planning and putting all the pieces together and getting help and asking all the questions, and became a thing.
That's amazing. It is so hard. I mean, I'm sure you look back now and you probably wonder like how you did it, but like,
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you, to have to go through and do it again, it's like, I don't want it to, but like, you should be so proud of yourself for going. I mean, I'm sure you can look back and just be like, wow, that was like really, really hard.
I think, you know, it's a lot like motherhood in some way, or like maybe pregnancy, delivery, all of it. Like, you have no idea what, at least I guess I should say I didn't. Some people do know what they're doing going into business. I did not. I went in so blind. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what I was up against or what would come. I'm sure there's still more to come that I have no idea. But that's probably better, because would I have done it? I don't know. I like to think I would have, but, you know, again, same with like some, you know, kids are hard. Raising kids is hard. And like, of course I would do it again, but like, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. It's probably a good thing that I didn't.
I was going to say, if you knew then what you know you had to go through now, like really, like, would you do it again?
I think I would. I think some of the toughness with that answer is I'm still in this like place and I'm trying to grow it. I'm trying to do a really good job. I'm still like very much in the thick of the hustle and it's exhausting. And I'm like really still hoping that we're going to get to a place where it's much easier and it's moving on its own and, you know, we could grow or do whatever we're going to do with it. And if I knew for sure that was going to happen, then like absolutely at this point, I'd be like, it's worth it right now. I'll stay in it for now. But it's hard because business is tough and we'll see. But it's been so rewarding. It's been great.
Since 2020, is that right? Like right in
COVID? We opened in 2021, in February of 2021.
And so you got the space and the treadmills and what was it like getting the word out about this treadmill studio? Were people really into it? Like, did you have trouble? Like, were people like, what is it? What are you talking about? Or were people like, that's a great idea?
Both. I think it's been a mixed reception, at least on the running community side. I think there are a lot of people who are like, why, you know, very anti-treadmill or stuck in this, what I would call like an old school approach to like, there's only one way to train, there's one way to run, there's, you know, one way to do our strength training, and really aren't interested in that, which is fine. But the people who have kind of given it a try and jumped in, like, yeah, they're all in. Once you come in and try it once, it's a little addicting, it's fun, the community's great, and, you know, once we can get people in the door, it's a pretty easy conversion.
Yeah. So I have a good question about like, are you finding that you're mostly getting runners that are coming, or is it mostly people that are like just fitness, looking for fitness, and they will do like, they'll do the RPM or whatever, and like, this is just another like class that they take in their week?
That's a great question. So we started out with a different name. We were called And Running. And that was the only name of the business. That was the website. That was the sign on the door. That's all of our logos, everything. And we were finding that we were having trouble getting those not like people who don't already identify as a runner or don't already identify as somebody who's interested in being on a treadmill. It was difficult to get them in the door with that name. I don't think it was just the name. It's also, you know, it's a new concept. I'm a new business, new to the scene. I typically have done most of my running in Montgomery County, and this is in Howard County. You know, I think there were a lot of things, but I do think the name was like a barrier almost to getting people over that step of like, I want to work out, I want to try something, but like that place is for runners, right? That place is called Running. That is for running. And so we went through a name change a little over a year ago. Gosh, I'm not sure. Into And Fitness, with the idea that, you know, we do, we are inclusive of all kinds of fitness levels, and we have now classes that don't involve the treadmill, and we try to offer a variety of different kinds of workouts so that you can really hopefully find your place and, you know, chase whatever it is you're looking for. Lots of people walk in our classes, and we still come from a running background. Obviously, almost all my coaches come from a running background, and that's what we do, you know, in terms of our athletics and our sports. So all of our coaching and cueing is about teaching you how to breathe and how to pace and how to think about your efforts. And, you know, we're going to take a higher effort, but we're going to pull back to an active recovery. Let's think about how you're going to transition that. We're talking about taking it out to the road and how this might look, and how you can apply it to a race or just a training situation. And people who aren't interested, maybe they just don't listen to that part, or maybe they appreciate hearing it too. So, you know, I would say at this point, we probably have more people that are coming to classes that are not specifically, they wouldn't probably probably self-identify as a runner. I would call them a runner because they run with us all the time. But, you know, that's a whole separate thing we could probably talk about. But I think it's, you know, a combo. We have a bunch of people who are in studio with us who, you know, also participate in some of our like one-on-one or group run coaching, because that's kind of a separate arm of the business, and come out to races with us and, you know, do the group training too. And there are people that kind of go back and forth between those two groups. So I would say it's a combo.
Okay. So it's not necessarily people, or they could, or they would, or maybe not, but incorporate it in their like training. If they're training for a marathon or a race or something like that, this could substitute as one of their like tempo days or something like that. Is that?
Lots of people treat it that way. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, there are people who are like from the community, like they're just looking for a great workout and they're with us every day. And it's not something I recommend because our workouts are hard and like, you know, you're not going to go out and run a tempo every day. Like that's just not the smart way, you know, to get to the most of the goals that us runners are looking for. But yeah, I would say that a lot of runners are using our classes for speed and strength. You know, most of our classes incorporate both of those pieces. And they're using those days as their speed and strength days and, you know, doing the rest of their mileage outside easy.
And what does like a class, like what does a class look like? Can you give me like it's a 60 minute class, right?
Most of them, yeah.
And can you just give me like the breakdown of the sections maybe of what the class is?
Sure. So we've got a couple different formats. I would say our kind of bread and butter is our what we call intervals and strength. So that class is about 35 minutes on the treadmill working through intervals. So we go through a nice long warm up where we're getting moving, bringing up some speed in the hills and coming back down, you know, to really just getting warm. And then we hit a main set of work, and it varies every single day. So usually it's small intervals, I would say, you know, 2, 3, 4 minutes at a time, sometimes 90 seconds. And we're giving lots of opportunity for recovery in between. So those people who are just looking for a great workout, right, you can push really hard, pull back, recover in between each of those intervals. People who are looking for more endurance work will hold back a little bit on the speed and then, you know, take an active recovery jog through the intervals. So that's part takes, you know, 25 minutes or so. And then in that class, then we kind of warm it down on the tread, move to the floor and do about 20 minutes of either full body or upper body strength work. And we're moving all together. So again, we combo the speed and hard hill work with strength. So you can squish those together. We have a class that's all on the treadmill. We have a couple of those classes. We have a 45 minute and a 60 minute, and those are endurance. So those efforts are much longer. You know, we're doing 5, 6, 7, 8 minute efforts, and we're varying speed and incline. Part of it's to keep it interesting, but also to like, again, bring up your effort, your heart rate, work on maintaining speed up a hill and then pulling back to an active recovery and kind of working on those endurance-y efforts. You know, we have one that's completely strength training for people who either already got their mileage done during the day and just want to come in for about 45 minutes of strength, or just aren't interested at all in the treadmill. And then once a week we have also we also have a power class. So that's focused more on like more HIIT style, where we're, you know, doing more focused both power on the treadmill and on the floor. We hop back and forth 8 to 10 minutes at a time. We're going back and forth and back and forth. That class is really fun because you get your, you know, speeds up, it's shorter intervals, and you don't have to spend too much time in one place. And then we have a recovery class once a week. So I coach that on Monday nights, where we do like a real short 15, 18 minutes, just kind of like easy work on the tread, just kind of getting things moving, getting warm. And then we go to the floor for some stretching, rolling, I say yoga-ish because I'm not a yoga instructor, but like a little bit of flow. We do some meditation, just kind of like bringing it all down, spending some time slowing it all down and stretching, which I think like I can speak for most of us that we don't do enough of. Yeah.
That's awesome. So like, I wasn't expecting that variety. Like, you know, I was like, well, I wonder how much you can do in a, you know, a treadmill studio as far as like, you know, playing with the speed and the incline. But that's a ton of different programs. Who writes those? Do your instructors each write their own? Do you write the programs?
Yeah, our instructors all write their own. So it's part of our training that we work through. You know, we have some guidelines of, you know, these are the tenets that are important to a workout. This is the way that we coach. This is the way that we like to do things. Here's some parameters. And then each coach writes their own so that you get, you know, a couple, like, some of us have reputations for doing certain things, more hills, more hard hills. I'm not going to call out specific instructors because it's a little, a bit of argument between us, like, that wasn't even mine, I took that from someone else, and she always says I do such hard hills, or you know, longer efforts, or gosh, her classes are just hard in general, or whatever. And it's kind of fun to get your own flavor in classes, and then we share them, obviously, because there's no point in repeating a ton of work. But yeah, I feel like that's important, because getting, you know, if it was just all mine and all me, I mean, for one, that's hard, because I tend to get in like a rut of writing, as I'm sure a lot of writers do, or people who plan things do. And it's good to have like those different perspectives and ideas that I wouldn't otherwise think of.
Yeah. And so what is your background? So are you a running coach? Like do you have your personal training certification? What's your background?
Great question. So, training wise, and I mentioned I went to graduate school in North Carolina that has nothing to do with fitness. I have a degree in genetic counseling. My master's is in, and I'm a licensed genetic counselor. And so that's been my like professional life. And I work for a genetic testing lab, so I'm still working there as a genetic counselor. And as I got running, you know, after really starting like in college and falling kind of in love with my own version of running and the sport and what it was and what it meant to me, it really wasn't until I think I was already working and started to find some running groups, you know, as I was an adult living out in the world and trying to find people to run with, and just kind of slowly started taking on a group, you know, as a pacer and then as a leader coming to the programs that I'd already done and kind of like helping to lead and answer some questions in the group. Before all of this, I started, so I have, to answer your question about certification, I have a group exercise certification. I have an extra training in, I think they used to call it silver sneakers. They don't call it that anymore. It's just the older generation, 65 plus, that's a special fitness interest of mine. I do have RRCA run coaching certification too. So I started running some boot camps during COVID, just, you know, with some groups at the track, again, combining speed and strength days. And yeah, from there, like, again, just kind of like keeping in running groups and the boot camps and all of that. So I've got a couple certifications, you know, I think those are helpful. Like, you learn a good bit in those courses and through taking the exams, but so much of it happens as you're actually doing it, right?
Yeah, experience is huge when it comes to stuff like that. I think I also like collected, I feel like, certifications, but I feel the best about the things that I've actually done. Like, I'm like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, experience is so important when it comes to all of that stuff, and having actually, like, with your treadmill, I mean, you used to write workouts for yourself and your friends and stuff like that to keep it interesting. And personally, like, that's the only way you'll get me on a treadmill is if I'm doing some sort of interval.
You're going to have to come check it out.
I do. You guys are, I wish you were close. You got to open one in Baltimore.
I keep hearing that. I'll have to work on that.
Yeah. Not to give you anything else to do, but yeah. So I know we kind of jumped right into End Fitness because it just transitioned that way, but I definitely want to learn more about you and your history with running and sports. And so you started running in college. What was that like? And, you know, when did you really get hooked on the sport?
Yeah. I mean, I just started running just, I think my sister answered this question on her interview, and it was very similar for all of us. You know, we grew up all swimming competitively, myself not nearly at the level that Hannah or Callie did. You can just also watch how that transitioned into the running career, also very similar. But, you know, like, I got out of high school sports and was like, you know, now I'm in college and I need to move my body. Like, what do I do? I wasn't super familiar or comfortable in the gym, at least at that point yet, right, with like all the other equipment besides a treadmill. And just picked up running. I think I thought it was going to be hard. And I'm that person that I'm like, that looks hard, I think I'll do that.
Right.
This is my weird personality that I'm like, that looks like it takes a lot of really hard work, I think that's my path I'll take. And I just started it just for fitness, and found a good friend in college who was willing to take like the crazy journey with me. And we would just like, I went to UMBC, so we would just like run the loop there, like a couple times every day, you know, every morning. We got up early, and it just started, you know, at the beginning doesn't feel so good. It doesn't, but there's a point where it does. And that click, that switch is what hooked me. I was like, once you're in it and you can feel, you know, I don't really like the term runner's high, but there's that feeling of like, my body's doing what it's supposed to do, and it's moving and it's performing and things are getting better, and it doesn't feel as hard anymore. And then I can push harder the next time. All of that got me. And I feel like I kept it pretty fitness oriented for years until, like I said, I went and found a running group when I moved to Montgomery County, and then found like the social aspect of the sport and the ability to like go on long runs with friends and like really get to know these people super, super well. And then racing and, you know, it kind of all just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah. You said a couple things that stuck out. So as far as finding the hardest thing in the gym and just kind of like going towards that, I almost wonder if it's like, because I feel like the same way. Well, first of all, with running, I think you also said something in there that made me think about the like lifting weights or the other equipment in there. And I think I was really scared of everything else but the treadmill. I was like, okay, I know how to use a treadmill. So like, I'm going to do that so I don't look dumb, like trying to do anything else here. And then also like running, you're right, like super, super hard. So it's almost like if I could do this, then I could probably figure out anything else or do anything else if I can really get this down. And then you're so right about the switch when it's, you know, it is really, really hard. But then one day you realize like, it's not that it's not hard, but it's not as hard. And you're like, wow, if I really work at something and really practice it, it gets better. It gets easier. Yeah. So that I think that's a very relatable aspect of running, but it's not, you know, I wouldn't have recognized. I'm like, oh yeah, that did happen for me too, but I didn't think about it like that. So that's really cool. So when did you first like sign up for like what was your first race? Was it like a 5K? Did you go right for like a marathon or like how did that progress?
It was not a marathon. I don't do marathons, never done marathon, and I don't know that I will. You know, I had done 5Ks like casually, right? Like through probably high school and college, you know, go out to Komen or like the really big ones that you do with fundraisers for people, and probably didn't run the whole thing. Definitely didn't train for them. I think my true first race, if I remember right, it was a 10K in Rockville. It was when I joined the group and, you know, found this, it was a Feet First store in Gaithersburg that I joined a running group with just casually. And then they did a program and I joined that, you know, to build up to 10K. And then of course did a half after that. So I think the 10K, like that's what I remember as being like my first, like, I'm going to race this, right? Like I'm going in, I worked up to get to this point. I had a time in mind and like went for it.
So racing's not really where it's at for you. Like it's more about the community and running for, you know, just
maybe. So I like racing, of course. Yeah. I mean, you know, like, well, here's the thing. I like racing when I have the time to prepare for it. I don't consider myself, you know, people used to ask, especially when I was starting the business, like, are you competitive? All the banks wanted to know, are you known in the area? Are you a competitive runner? And I said, I'm like locally competitive because at the time I was. These days, no. Like I'm not in the place where I have the time to train at that time, you know, or like really even just my energy at all. So I enjoy racing when I'm prepared to do so. I'm not the type that's going to sign up to go with friends out to a half just because, for the most part. And I hope to get back to like really racing someday, you know, as I can prepare myself that I'm getting older. I might not like hit the same speeds anymore, but I do enjoy like the speed aspect and kind of setting those big goals and going for them. It's just not where I am in my life right now.
Yeah. You have a full-time, I mean, I feel like you have two full-time jobs, really. Yeah. Or three now with kids.
Three.
That's a lot. That is just, just put that off. Yeah, that can wait. I mean, I've seen amazing things. I've seen women doing amazing things in like their 40s, 50s, 60s. Like, it's crazy. It's so inspiring to me. I follow this there's like this Facebook running group that I follow, and it's, I don't know what it's called, but it's literally all like people in their like 70s, 80s. Like the post today was like this woman who was 100. She started running in her 70s. She's like setting records. This woman started in her 70s. I'm just like saying, like, people, like, my mom's not even 70 yet. Like, I'm like, my mom's always like, I'm not a runner. I'll never be a runner. I can't do what you do, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, this woman, you're not even 70 yet. This woman started in her 70s and she's like breaking records at 100. Like, that gives me so much hope for like life. I think it's so cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, like, what kind of people inspire you, like running or not? Like, what kind of people like inspire you?
I would say people who are real. So like, I feel like this is like a gimme, but to call out my sister, but my sister is a wonderful example. My sister Hannah, of somebody that I admire, who is such an amazing athlete. She works so hard. Like, I'm, I don't know that anybody really knows how hard she works. But she's normal. Like she keeps it real, right? Like she's the first to tell you, like, today was hard and I was struggling and I was tired because I went out to dinner and I was out late and, you know, I have to work all day today. And, you know, I still got up and did what I needed to do, or maybe she didn't, maybe it didn't go well. I like people who keep it real and who don't pretend like things are just, you know, the whole social media making things look like they're so easy and beautiful. It's hard because, like, who's going to get online and be like, my life's a mess, my kid threw the breakfast across the room, right? But, like, I appreciate when people keep it so relatable to everyday life, because that's the life that I'm in. And, you know, knowing that, like, there, like you said, there's still room to make goals for yourself, to take care of yourself, to make yourself happy if this is the thing that makes you happy, and to go for big goals and still be like a normal functioning human being with, you know, normal struggles. It's just really cool to watch.
Now, I have other questions about and fitness, but before I go to that, like, what is the most challenging thing for you, I guess, when you run, about running? And would you say it's getting up, getting out the door, or finding time, or?
Yeah, right now, I mean, I think that's part of the thing about running, is that the challenges change, which is maybe part of the fun of it too. But I think one of the hard things is that it takes the consistency to get to that point of feeling good that we talked about, right? And finding that consistency in a crazy life. And we all get in this comparison game of like, my life's busy, no, my life's busy, no, my life's busy. And like, nobody seems to feel like they're understood about how busy they feel, but we're all busy is the thing, right? And to get to a point and then maintain a point of running feeling good and rewarding and not coming, you know, taking a break and then we come back, it hurts more. I feel like that's like the hardest thing. I think also, like, it's so hard to keep it all in perspective. Sometimes that's really hard for me, is that, right? Like, it doesn't have to be so serious all of the time. And it doesn't have to, you know, it's okay if I'm not feeling as fast or as feeling as good or can't cover the same distance that I did before. And somehow I've got this like internal pressure. Maybe it's Strava, maybe it's Garmin, maybe it's just in my own head of like where I expect to be. It's really hard to acknowledge and like put in perspective of like, this is not that big of a deal, right? Like if running does, keeping perspective of what running really does do for me, as opposed to like holding myself to all these standards that mean nothing.
Yeah. Well, what do you hope that running looks like for you, you know, in the future, maybe when you're not so busy?
Yeah. I mean, running is such like a relief for me. It's a place where I can let go of all of that crap. It's just, you know, even if I'm with friends, it's just me at that point. It's about me. You know, even if I'm out there like running with a friend or pacing them for something, I'm not thinking about all of the stuff that has to be, hopefully, I'm not thinking about all the stuff that has to be done later in the day. It's literally, I put aside an hour and a half just for myself. And I hope that I can find more time to do that. And really to have the time to chase like big goals that I have. You know, there's some satisfaction in like setting a big goal, working really hard to get there, getting there, and then looking back at all the work, really hard work that you did. And I hope that I can get back to, you know, doing it more consistently and feeling like I'm just really, you know, I guess the rest of my life is supported by running as opposed to the other way around.
For sure. And okay, so my other question is about end fitness. I feel like I'm jumping all over the place, but we're going to figure this out.
That's okay. Welcome to my brain.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, mom brain. But I'm like, oh my God, I forgot to ask about this. And now I feel like I'm going backwards. But so when you were talking about you guys did treadmill workouts when it was during COVID and you were outside, I thought it was really interesting that Hannah said you did them with like, you had like little headphones or something and you would talk to your athletes. That's really cool. Like, I feel like you should do something like that. Was that received well? Like,
yeah, it was great. Yeah. So we had these headphones that connected to a radio signal. I'm probably going to mess up the technicality of this explanation. My understanding.
Radio waves.
Cause I know it's not Wi-Fi. And it's mostly not Bluetooth, but it connected all to like a central receiver that I had, that I played music out of, or, you know, the whoever's coaching it, because my sisters coached it too. We played music. And then we had a microphone and it projected it out to everybody else's headphones. And so you could control like how loud it was in your ears and you could move because they were wireless. So we had them around the track and we were running very similar to how we do in class. We obviously can't give hills around a track, but we would call out, you know, we work all on an effort level system. So level 1, 2, 3, 4. And we'd be saying, you know, we're here for 30 seconds. We're here for 90 seconds. You get a recovery in, and everybody could move at their own pace and still do the same workout. So people were all over the track. It was great. Part of it was necessity because of COVID, and we didn't have a space yet also at the time. We are actually bringing it back. We do a annual retreat for our, you know, members in studio. Anybody can sign up. We're going this weekend, and we're bringing the headphones back out this weekend, which is exciting. So we're going to take it out there. Usually our biggest restriction is just finding the space because, you know, high school tracks like are often booked and it's hard to reserve them. And if I could find a place that like we could have a reservation and it wouldn't make me lose money, then we would absolutely be out there probably multiple times a week because people do love it. It's really fun.
I think that's so cool. I feel like that, does the other like treadmill gym that you were talking to, do they do something like that? I think it's so different.
No, they do kind of similar to other like run group type stuff that we do, you know, group workouts and stuff on the track that you see other groups doing. But this was, I think the inspiration from this came from, you know, as I was building a studio, I was looking at like other modalities, and there are some like spin studios and stuff that do these silent parties. So it's technically silent because all of the music's coming through the headphones and the room itself is silent, but everybody can hear the music and is, you know, either on a spin bike or dancing around or whatever it is for whatever kind of fitness class. And I was like trying to think of how could we preview our classes to people before the space was ready and start getting some hype up. And it just worked out. Yeah. I contacted the company and they helped me get set up.
That's amazing. I love that so much. And the fact that you just said silent party, I love it even more because one of my favorite things, have you ever been to a silent party?
No.
Oh my God, they are so freaking fun. It is like one of my favorite things. I think it is so cool. It's so weird though. So do you know how it works?
I'm wondering if it's like the same idea. You tell me.
Okay. So basically there's usually two or three DJs and your headphones, you have like three channels. So you have like a green channel, red channel, a blue channel, and each of the DJs are playing different songs, like maybe it's like different like genres or whatever, and it's almost like the DJs are competing to see who like everybody listens to more by like the colors. Like are you listening to blue or green or red or whatever? But it's hilarious because everybody is screaming or singing at the top of their lungs, but if you take your headphones off, it just sounds awful. So bad. But you know, I'll be like you'll be in a room with people listening, and all of a sudden you'll be like, turn it to blue, turn it to blue, turn it to blue. So everybody turns to the song that you're listening to and singing, and everybody's dancing together. Either, you know, it's usually like little groups dancing to one station or dancing to the other, and like
that's fun.
It is so much fun.
So this must be the same. This is like, I'm sure the same, at least concept, if not the same company that sells these headphones. Cause I have seen some, I didn't think about that you can like switch the channels and be listening to different things all in one place. Yeah. That's super interesting. I can't even imagine taking your headphones off in a room like that.
That's the best part. Like you just take your headphones off and I'm like, wow, we sound so bad. But then you just like put them back. It's so fun. It's so fun. Oh my God, I wonder if you could do like a silent, like you could have three different coaches doing three different things, and if they didn't like the workout, they could like switch to somebody else.
You're like, this is too hard. I'm switching.
This is too hard. The other question I have, which I feel like you guys could do this, but I don't know if you do yet. Do you do any like virtual treadmill workouts?
Yeah. So we have a virtual, we do. We've done it. Yeah. Again, partly because of COVID, partly just because, you know, we're looking to try to expand as much as possible. We have our classes on a podcast platform where we've got like a handful of classes. I want to say there's like 60 of them on there. Some are for treadmill, some are for outside. And it's just, I want to say it's just like being in class. It is obviously not the same. You don't get the same atmosphere, the same energy from others, but it's a way to join into our workouts and participate without having to be directly with us. It's a good option if you're out of town or you just don't live near us. You just like log in. We have a subscription model. It's pretty cheap. I think it's like $7 or $8 a month. And, you know, so if you're not a member, if you're a member, we just include it. But you can like just sign on to the podcast and it's private. So you have to purchase into it and then you can go into any of the workouts and hit play. You just put your headphones in just like any other podcast and you go. And it's really fun.
I'm in. So what is it called? Yeah. It's called End Fitness?
It is, yes. And it's on, oh no, I'm sorry. This is an And Running. So it's In Running. And if you just look in any podcast, I think it's called And Running On Demand is technically the name of the podcast. If you search in any podcast platform, you should find it.
Oh my God. How did I not know this? Everyone has to know.
I was going
to
say, it's something we don't talk about enough and something that we would love to grow. It's just, you know, one of those things we've been so busy with kind of, I don't know, everything else that I would love to grow it more.
Oh my God, that's so cool. Definitely gonna let people know about it. That I love that because I don't have to go to your studio. It's kind of far, so I can just listen to you guys. And I love that I know you. So like, it's like, yeah. Like now talking to me. Oh my God. Okay. I'm really excited about that. Can you give us like a workout, like a real quick workout, like maybe that we can remember? Like, do you have a workout that you can just be like, here's one that we do in class a lot?
A good one that so my favorite are descending efforts because I really like to get like the longest one out of the way first, but I love long efforts because then even through an hour long, you only have 5 efforts that you have to get through, as opposed to if you're doing 2-minute efforts, like how many do you have to get through in an hour? So I always start with the longest one and I like builds. I like progressions. So like maybe starting out nice and easy. We call that level 2 is conversational, like long run type pace. And then every, we vary it up much more in class, but I would say like if I'm on my own or coaching someone like out on the road, I would say maybe every, 1 minute or every 90 seconds, you're just picking up the pace just slightly. So you're progressing. If you're in a really long effort, you could about halfway through, maybe if it's an 8-minute effort or so, you could build for the first 4 minutes, then pull back to your long run, easy pace for a minute, kind of take that breather, but keep your legs moving and then build again. I like those style cause you're like getting to working harder, and I like to, the harder I'm working, the shorter I'm working. So like maybe as I bump it up a little bit, I'm there for a minute and then I bump it up a little bit more, it's 45, and that time starts to really push through. Quicker, right? As you're paying attention to how hard you're working for shorter periods of time. So I like that on the tread. I'm just gradually building up speed, maybe to the point where I'm at around tempo pace, and then pull back for an active recovery and then do it all over again. And then maybe the next effort is a little bit shorter. So maybe start with like a 6-minute effort and then you go to a 5-minute effort and then a 4 minute. So by the time you're at your last one, it's 2 minutes, 1 minute. By then you're tired, but you can be like, but I can get through this in only a couple minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
So those are my favorite.
I like that too. I feel like that would go by so fast. And I love mixing it up because, oh my God, there's nothing worse than just like counting down seconds or a mile on a treadmill. So
I don't recommend doing that at all.
Don't look at that. I also wanted to ask you about, I don't know how much you can talk about, I don't know if it's secretive or whatever, but you also were recently selected as an ambassador for Lululemon, right?
It's not a secret. Yeah, we can talk about it.
Okay. It's the one in, which Lululemon is it?
It's the Columbia Mall.
Columbia Mall Lululemon. How did you connect with them? And
yeah, I just, I think I was shopping in the store the first time that I kind of, started talking to the staff a little bit more. And then they, I imagine from me saying like, this is who I am, I'm local to the area. I knew back then that before COVID that Lululemon was doing events. And so I was like wondering, do you do running events? Are you connected with anybody? Not so much like thinking to promote myself, but just, I like to get out in the community as much as possible. And they were like, we're not doing it right now, right? COVID was not quite over, and especially not for them. They were definitely being pretty conservative with their get-togethers still at that point. And I think we just kind of started chatting and I got to know the manager a little bit better and all the staff. They started coming out to some of our fun runs. So we do a monthly, we call it Run Club at a brewery at Black Flag once a month. And they started coming, some of their staff started coming to that. We started chatting and, I didn't even really, I mean, of course I knew about the ambassadors. I knew what they are, but I never thought they would want me. I don't know why, because now that I know the company and who they choose and why and their mission, and I truly, truly think that they do a wonderful job of supporting local businesses and local people in fitness. And so I think I was just like in my head about who I am and my age and all of that was like adorable people that are on their walls and in the stores and all that stuff. And so that wasn't even on my mind. So when they asked me, I was just so shocked and of course thrilled, and it's been a wonderful time since then getting to know all of them and doing events, and it's been such a, I don't want to use the word blessing, but I don't know what else to call it. Like, it's been so great.
I mean, it's a great mutual opportunity for them and for you. I mean, you are doing amazing things. You're really inspirational and you're in the community. You're out there and you're a great resource for runners in the community for Lululemon. And it's also great for you to kind of have that connection with a big brand like that. So
yeah,
congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I think it's really cool that you get to have your picture in the store and everything.
Yeah, that's fun. That's
super
too.
Fun. Yeah, super fun. So the last question that I usually ask everybody is to finish the sentence Maybe running will help what? So in your own words, maybe running will help
Maybe running will help your perspective on the rest of your life. I think that running is a beautiful metaphor for almost any challenge you could have in your life. And it's something we talk about a lot in the studio and with our one-on-one coaching, that the effort of setting a goal, practicing it, failing at it sometimes, doing things you don't necessarily want to do, the skills that we talk about, positive self-talk, and acceptance of where you're starting and dealing with what you have, all of that is, I think, such a great metaphor for life. And you can use all of that experience that you get in your running life and apply it to really, really hard things in life. And I think it can only help.
Yeah, maybe running will help your perspective on the rest of your life. I love it. I love that. I'm so amazed whenever I ask that question and nobody has the same answer, but they're all like really good.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, thank you so much for your time. I think you're amazing and wonderful. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I think you froze. Of course, you froze for a second. You probably said something really nice.
I said, thank you for the opportunity. I said, this is wonderful. Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been great talking.
Okay, I'm glad we repeated that. Okay.
Thanks to Leah Williams for taking time out of her busy schedule to speak with us. If you want to learn more about End Fitness, you can visit the website at endfitstudio.com. That's AndFitStudio.com. As always, thank you for listening to Maybe Running Will Help and supporting the show. Don't forget to follow, like, share, and review us on your favorite streaming platform. Until next time, I'm Nikki Tamburino. Keep running, keep inspiring, and keep sharing how maybe running will help. Have a great run, everybody.
Do you have an annoying habit when you run?
I'm sure I do. You shouldn't ask me that. You should ask my running friends.
Okay. Do you spit or do the snot rocket?
Oh, man. You're going to ask me that? Yeah, I spit all the time.
I was always like, ew, spitting. I'm never going to spit. And then sometimes I kind of do.
It's allergy season in Maryland. Like, we have to spit. Yeah. We're like, it's cold and all this stuff's running. You don't want to swallow it. Yes, I spit.
Plus, in the summer, there's bugs. And so, like, sometimes they eat, like, I'm going to swallow. I'm like, there's that. I still will not do a snot rocket.
No, me neither. I draw the line.
Would you rather do 100 squats or 100 push-ups?
Oh, squats for sure.
Same.
My upper body strength is not it.
So, can you do a pull-up?
No, probably not. I haven't tried in so long. Probably
my
not.
Upper body is so sad. It's really bad. It's really bad. But do you do yoga? This is going to make sense.
I love yoga. I don't have time that I can do a lot of yoga. I would love to do more yoga more regularly.
Okay, wait for this question. Are you ready for it? Would you rather do yoga naked or run naked?
Yoga naked. For sure. Like, stillness.
I was thinking that too, but then I was like, oh my God, but all the downward dogs and all the times you have
no inversions. No inversions allowed. Just
like yin yoga. Just like laying down, corpse. Okay. I think that's good enough. I think we've done enough damage there. I hit record a drop, you can't ignore it. I'm transforming now, these cars and planes, I'm always boarding. Just out touring down in Charlotte like I play for Hornets. When I'm performing, never boring, now you can't afford it. Champagne, Perrier, finished friends on my face. Looking like I'm from the deep, these no Cartiers. Pockets deep, 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 bro. I can make it in my seat, bro. Do you, I'm doing me, bro. Making noise, use a beat, bro. Neighborhood be the name. Neighborhood no crib. Neighborhood.
that's cold case. Those on the deals, that's brosé. Got no pay or no say. Okay, this the news, tell them read it. Been the one since the fetus. Don't sleep on me, Tempur-Pedic. That's a no, no, no. Spending dope for no reason. Got a ball head, Mr. Cleaner. Heard the big bags overseas, then we gon' go, go, go.